Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. And we'll talk this week a bit about the Jubilee. We're in a Jubilee year and that Pope Francis established, and Pope Leo continues to lead us through it. Elements of it, look at a little background, then different elements each day this week I want to drill down deep into a little bit more so maybe we can harvest more for ourselves in this Jubilee year, because there is a lot of grace, there's a lot of blessing, there's a lot of God's mercy, there's a lot of hope that the Lord wants us to be able to receive in this season. When the Holy Father, when the Vicar of Christ actually declares a Jubilee and leads us into it, you know, he has the keys, right? The binding and the loosing. And he is helping, he's responding to an inspiration really for himself, for the Holy Spirit to lead the church as the chief shepherd into a period of time that God's mercy, God's forgiveness, and the love and the grace of the Holy Spirit is poured out into us so that we can live more conformed to Jesus. And in this season, we'll see that to cooperate with that, we're encouraged by the church to take up some habits and to take the opportunity to receive abundant mercy of God, like extraordinary graces. So we'll talk about that this week, but I thought it might be helpful just to begin with a little bit of background on the Jubilee. The Jubilee really is an Old Testament theme. It's a key theme that runs all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament. And it begins here really in Leviticus 25. There's a variety of passages in the Old Testament that speak about it. In Leviticus 25, it speaks about every 50th year. So 7 years times seven is 49. That seven is a perfect number. And those 7 year periods also have some meaning. But on the 50th year is a year of liberty declared by the Lord throughout the land. And how it was expressed concretely, and the Lord really expected Israel to respond, was to set captives free. Slaves were set free. The land was returned to its original family owners, even, you know, if it was purchased by someone else or taken by someone else. Debts were canceled, financial debts, and the land itself lay fallow for a year and rested. It was a time of rest. And so it was a time really for the people of Israel to yield, to trust God, and to cooperate with God. It was a time of restoration, mercy, equality, rooted in the truth and land that, and it helped people remember and to live under the understanding that everything, the land, everything we possess belongs to God. And that entrusting it back to God and obeying God would bring great blessing. So that's the kind of foundation. There's a lot more to it, but I just wanted to give a brief introduction to it. And then there is the reality of the Jubilee year, that it's a theme, the time of setting captives free, that is pointing to, it's a type of the ultimate plan of God to bring about the ultimate Jubilee in his Son, Jesus Christ, who doesn't simply set us free from financial debt or whatever. Jesus comes to set us free from the dominion of the world, the flesh, and the devil, the power of sin in our lives, and to bring us into his new life in the Holy Spirit. And so the key passage, of course, is from Luke chapter 4. You know, read it just here, beginning in verse 16. And Jesus, it says, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue, as was his custom, on the Sabbath. And he stood up to read. And there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's the Jubilee year. Jesus is now, as so many things in the Old Testament, were types that in the moment had meaning, but they are realities that point to their ultimate fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. And here, the Jubilee year is fulfilled in Jesus' coming, taking on human flesh, and he's anointed by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads him to accomplish what is at the essence of the Father's intention in the Jubilee year. The ultimate gift of forgiveness that Jesus accomplishes for us on the cross. He comes to take away our sins. You know, he deals with slavery, setting captives free, releasing people from prison. And we're imprisoned under the dominion, again, of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the sin problem that binds us and separates us. And Jesus comes to take away sin, as St. Paul says so beautifully in such a simple way in 1 Timothy. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And Paul says, and I'm the greatest of them all. So what Jesus has come to do is to free us. He wants to bring us into a full liberty, the sons and daughters of God. He wants to give us capacity and the power to love our neighbor, to take care of our neighbor. Ultimately, he leads us in his passion, death, and resurrection into the new creation, the new life. He leads us into the absolute fulfillment of the Jubilee, which is to share in the glory of Jesus and the new creation and the new life of the kingdom of God. It is interesting in Luke's gospel how it begins. There's the baptism. There's John the Baptist who comes out and says some amazing things about Jesus, that he's the one anointed by the Holy Spirit. He's the last prophet of the Old Testament. Verse 21 in chapter 3 of Luke's gospel is Jesus' baptism. And of course, the Spirit is manifested and the voice of the Father is heard and declaring who Jesus is. And Jesus here begins his ministry. So just read real quickly. Now, when all the people were baptized, that is, John was baptizing the people, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form as a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So here he is, the Messiah, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. He's the one now that is filled with the Holy Spirit, as he declared in Luke 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's now all the types pointing to the fulfillment of the Messiah, who would come to literally set captives free. And of course, the Father acknowledges Jesus as his beloved. And then we see, beginning of chapter 4, it says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan," where he got baptized, "and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil." Now, Jesus goes forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. What we need to see is, remember, humanity was created by God. Each of us bear the image of God. We were made to participate in the glory of God, to be in full relationship with God. But we who were made for glory fell from glory in Adam and Eve, and we share that fallen reality. Jesus comes to raise us to glory. And what is the glory? We've talked about many times on the program. The Catechism reminds us that Jesus' glory is the Holy Spirit, his anointing. And it's important for us to be able to see that God's plan of salvation to bring about setting us free, we who are captive to sin, is God's plan is to take human flesh, Jesus, the Son of Mary, one of us, born without sin, lives without sin, but he's perfectly united to the Holy Spirit. And he becomes for us the first. God's plan is that the Spirit that's on Jesus, right there in Israel, leaving the Jordan, heading into the desert for spiritual combat, now the fullness of the Spirit is on him. And Jesus' work and Jesus' great mission and the battle that he's engaging in the desert, the one who is holding human beings captive, the devil, Jesus goes to declare war against him, and spiritual combat takes place. He essentially declares to the devil, "Your time's up." And now he lives the life the Father has sent him, and on the cross, he disarms the principalities and powers, breaks the power of the kingdom of God. He rises from the dead and begins the new creation, the new humanity, having dealt with the power of sin. And now, because of his death on the cross, human beings can be purified and can be set free from the dominion of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we can become temples of the living God, a dwelling place of God, and the Spirit of God is upon us. And the Father says, as he said to Jesus, because we share now in the life of Jesus, we share with what is his relationship with God the Father. So we receive the Holy Spirit in baptism, strengthening confirmation, and the voice of the Father. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. And this is a reality. It's not just a mythical idea or an inspiring way to think about how we feel as believers. No, this is actually an accomplished reality and a truth. We do become temples of the living God. And then as Jesus is full of the Spirit and he's moved by the Spirit, remember the Christian life, Paul talks it at one point, he said it's a new life in the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. That is, the way of life we now live is animated, inspired, and moved by the Holy Spirit. And in this case, the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into spiritual combat. And of course, we know that Jesus won that battle. The devil tried to confuse him, even using the Bible, but Jesus won that battle. And he won the ultimate battle and rose from the dead. And he began the final jubilee, the final absolute liberation, and the love of God flowing in its fullness. Now, looking at this jubilee in the context, in a Catholic context, the church has taken up this theme of a jubilee year, and we're living in this one now in 2025, established by Pope Francis. The original practice of the jubilee began where the Pope announced the jubilee began in the year 1300 under Pope Boniface VIII. And says subsequent popes have celebrated it roughly every 25 years, but it's escalated more, a little bit more in recent history. And then the jubilee, as it's expressed by the church, summarized by repentance, bringing our sins, our captivity to the Lord, in different ways to have our sins forgiven, to go deeper into conversion, to forgive others, to receive, actually you can receive indulgences and special graces in this season, which we'll talk about as the week goes on. And then inspired to a renewed commitment to obedience to God, to justice, to mercy, to charity, and then see ourselves in this whole year on a pilgrimage toward walking deeper into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God to overcome the enemy. So there's a real clarity, a direct connection with the Old Testament Jubilee and Jesus' declaration, quoting from Isaiah 61:1-2. St. John Paul II spoke about the Jubilee in a document called Tertio Millennio Inveniente. I think I got that right, where he described the Jubilee this way. He said, the Jubilee, a year of the Lord's favor, is a year of remission of sins and of punishment due to sin, a year of reconciliation between disputing parties, a year of manifold conversions, and of sacramental and extra-sacramental penance. So I want to touch on tomorrow, hope you can join me, talk a little bit more about how St. John Paul II described the Jubilee, and then how Pope Francis also described the Jubilee, and how he described the Jubilee we're in right now. You can see, if we look closely, that the graces of the Jubilee are flowing. It's a Jubilee of hope. And there's so much going on and captives being set free. So hope you can join me tomorrow. And let's open our hearts to the grace of the Holy Spirit, who's at the center of the whole reality of the Jubilee year. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.